Brother Ed.
Presence of the Lord is here. Presence of the Lord is here. Feel it in the atmosphere. Presence of the Lord is here. Presence of the Lord is here. Spirit of the Lord is here. Spirit of the Lord is here. I feel him in the atmosphere. Spirit of the Lord is here. Spirit of the Lord is here. Power of the Lord is here. The power of the Lord is here. I feel it in the atmosphere. Power of the Lord is here. Power of the Lord is here.
He said, where two or three are gathered in my name, there I am also in the midst. Amen. You believe that today? I believe he's here with us today. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Just go ahead and receive a blessing and praise him for his many blessings.
Is here. The presence of the Lord is here. I feel it in the atmosphere. The presence of the Lord is here. The presence of the Lord. The Spirit of the Lord is here. I feel it in the atmosphere. The Spirit of the Lord is here. The Spirit of the Lord
is here. Thank you, Lord. How many know that there's power in his name? Hallelujah.
The power of the Lord is here. The power the Lord is here. I feel him in the atmosphere. The power of the Lord is here. The power of the Lord
is here. Thank you, Lord.
Everybody blow the trumpet and sound the alarm. Because the Lord is in the temple and everybody bow. A blessing from the Lord is here. I can feel him in the atmosphere. A blessing from the Lord is here. A blessing from the Lord
is here. Hallelujah.
Everybody blow the trumpet and sound the alarm. Because the Lord is in the temple, let everybody bow.
outside. I can feel him moving on the inside. Come and enter in and cast your cares on him. He'll open up the window, pull you out of your sin. When the Lord steps in, he brings everything you need. Healing, power, victory. But it's all up to you, whatever you need him to do. Just trust him and believe him. By faith you will receive. Oh, I can feel the presence of the Lord. And I'm gonna get my blessing right now. I can feel the presence of the Lord.
Bibles, want to turn with us over in the book of Jude this morning. It's a two-part service. Look at the one next to you and tell them, don't be fooled. Amen. As you know, Sister Connie made the announcement, said that over the week, everybody gone and everybody out doing their thing. I guess someone came by and they cut the air conditioned units, three of them on the back of the, on the side of the education building back there. And they got one of them, got the other two cut loose, and I guess something spooked them and they took off. Brother David Williams had told me they was hitting churches, that I was talking to the policeman a while ago, and he said they're hitting grocery stores. They hit 35 cars last night over at Legend Oaks. And, you know, we're living in the last day. And you think, you know, I mean, this is all these things are happening. And people are brave to go right in people's yard and break in their cars and neighborhoods, you know, and lighted areas. Even said they go on top of grocery stores and people are inside the store and stealing their units while people inside. Can you think about when the church is raptured out, what kind of a madhouse this is going to be on this earth? I don't want to be here. Do you? Amen. When you take righteousness and truth out, what is left? So I don't want to be hanging around here. Do you? Amen. Amen. Jude in the first chapter in verse number 3. He said, beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation. I'm glad it's common. It's the same to every one of us. It was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that you should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. It's not going to be delivered again. It's already been delivered. So we've got to earnestly contend or fight for this faith. Amen. Verse 4 says, for there are certain men crept in unawares, who were before of old ordained to this condemnation, ungodly men, turning the grace of our God into lasciviousness and denying the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. I will therefore put you in remembrance, though you once knew this, how that the Lord, having saved the people out of the land of Egypt, afterward destroyed them that believed not. God is no respecter of persons. Verse 6, it says, and the angels, which kept not their first estate, but left their own habitation. These are the angels that fell with Lucifer when he went up to take over the throne of God. He was in charge of a third of the angels. And they followed him up there to take over the throne, and God booted them out. He kept not their own estate. He hath reserved them in everlasting chains under darkness unto the judgment of the great day. I mean, even angels that, you know, did not keep their first estate. God has them under darkness now. They're walking around in misery. It was before even Adam and Eve was here. Else Satan wouldn't have been fallen then, would it? It says, even as Sodom and Gomorrah and the cities about them in like manner, giving themselves over to fornication and going after strange flesh, are set forth for an example, suffering the vengeance of eternal fire. Let us pray. Father, we thank you this morning for who you are. We ask God that you would touch our hearts to receive this word the way, Lord, that we should, knowing the day in which we live. And Father, I appreciate, God, the fact that you love us so that you'll warn us and tell us. And Father, that we would grow by the word and adjust our course by the word. And Father, we love you today for it, and we receive it by faith in the name of Jesus Christ into our hearts and our lives. Amen. Don't be fooled. Ask the question, who do you listen to? Who do you listen to most? I wonder sometimes when I see some Christian people walking around and they say that they're Christians, I wonder who they're listening to. When I hear them talk and I see their lifestyle, I wonder, who are they listening to? Amen. In fact, when God came back to the garden there with Adam and Eve and they was hid in the bushes, and they begin to say that they were naked and all these things, and they had already partaken of the tree that God said not to. They'd already rebelled against His word and did what God told them not to. God asked them, who told you was naked? In other words, He said, who you been listening to? Who is it that you listen to most of the time? Amen. It's important to know who you listening to. I challenge you all the time when I'm up here telling you something. I said, check me out with the book. Make sure I'm telling you the truth. I could be lying to you, so don't take my word for it. Get right here in the book and dig in and know it yourself. Because one of these days I might be gone from here and another will be up here, and you need to know the truth for yourself so that another don't come in here and lie to you, or else someone out there lie to you. Amen. That's why I encourage you. That's why I give you the scripture. That's why I tell you to study. Amen. But here in verse number 4, it says that certain men are crept in unawares. Unawares means to settle alongside, to lodge stealthily, like that stealth bomber. They said it can fly below the radar. I mean, they'll come in and they'll fly below the radar. They'll blend in even in the churches, and they'll blend in the I'm talking about in all church, just the word church, not just here, but everywhere. They'll blend in and they'll say, I'm a Christian, and they'll blend in stealthily along beside people. And all the time they're men of old. They're rebelling against God, and they're going contrary to what God is, because we're living in the last days, terrible days, troubled days, perilous times in the church world. It says here that what they'll do, that they will turn the grace of our God in verse 4. Turning the grace of our God into lasciviousness and denying the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. The way that they deny is that there is no change in them. When we see people that they say that I'm a Christian, but there have not been no change, then they are those that Jude is warning about. They are that antichrist spirit. When they come to church and they claim to be Christians and they claim to be preachers, but they still living in the world and doing the things of the world, they're antichrist. There's been no change. They're turning the grace of our God into lasciviousness. That's lasciviousness is wantonness in the things of the world. Amen. Changing the grace what it is. They're saying things like, you can't be perfect. They're saying things like, oh, you can't live without sin. There's no way you can live without sin, and you can't be perfect. And so many people are listening to it and they're going that way. And what happens, what they do, they actually kill the faith of some. The Bible talks about that. Over in 2 Timothy, it talks about it, that they'll overthrow the faith of some by what they say. People who at once believed in holiness and righteousness, and you could walk that straight and narrow way. Now they've broadened the way in the churches, and they've overthrown the faith of some. Amen? Jude is warning us of this day. This is written, you know, thousands of years, a couple of thousand years ago. But he knew that this day was coming in which we now live. They kill the faith of some. Where did I hear that kill word? Well, it's in John 10 and 10. The thief cometh not but for to what? Kill, steal, and destroy. It's the spirit of Antichrist. Lasciviousness is an absence of restraint. Turning our grace of our God into an absence of restraint. Grace brings restraint to us. Amen. In this grace period of holiness and righteousness, it brings restraint. Lasciviousness is an absence of restraint. It says in Ephesians 4:19, I don't know if she has it or not, but it says, who being past feeling have given themselves over to lasciviousness. People in the church world are past feeling. Can't feel God. Don't feel like anything's wrong. No conviction in the church world. Hey, I'm talking to Deliverance Tabernacle this morning. I ain't talking across the church, across the road this morning. We're preaching right here this morning. Things that some people in the church of Deliverance Tabernacle used to would not even dare do, they're doing now. They're past feeling, giving themselves over to lasciviousness. He's talking to us this morning. Come on now. Look at the one next to you and say, the Lord talking to you this morning. But they're saying, and they're convincing so many people, you can't be perfect. What he said over in Hebrews in the 7th chapter, verse 19. See, the problem is people don't read the book. He said, for the law made nothing perfect, but the bringing in of a better hope did, by the which we draw nigh unto God. Hebrews 10 and 14, it says, for by one offering he hath perfected forever them that are sanctified. That's the problem. The church has lost their sanctification. And they're walking around saying, well, you know, I'm not perfect, so you can't live perfect. Yeah, you're not sanctified. If you get sanctified, you'll do what God says to do. When you get sanctified, you get your conscience clean and you can feel him when you start to do something and you hear that, no, 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 no. You hear the Spirit leading you, yes, 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 into this way. Amen. He says over in 1 John in the 2nd chapter in verse 18, he says, little children, it is the last time. And as ye have heard that Antichrist shall come, even now are there many Antichrist sitting in the churches, in the pulpits, whereby we know that it is the last time. 1 John 2 and 22, it says, who is a liar? But he that not denieth that Jesus Christ, Jesus is the Christ. He is Antichrist that denieth the Father and the Son. Well, how do they deny, Brother Whitfield? Because there is no change in them after they've come to Christ. My Bible tells me if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. There's something brand new. All things become new. If it's the same old thing, come on. If it walks like a duck and it quacks like a duck, amen, and wobbles like a duck, it's a duck. They can say it's an eagle all it wants to, but it's a duck. People are funny, aren't they? They just need to look at the book. 1 John 4 and 3, it says, and every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God. And this is that spirit of Antichrist, whereof ye have heard that it should come, and even now already is in the world. It is in the world, and it's stealing and killing and destroying those that are in the world. Amen. That is contrary, Antichrist is that is contrary to the word of God. Anything that's contrary to the word of God is anti-Christ. The word is Christ. Anything that's contrary or opposite is anti-Christ. There's a lot of anti-Christ in the world. The spirit is already here, the spirit of anti-Christ. Amen. Can't live perfect. You can't live holy. Amen. You don't need to, Brother David, we live in grace period now. We don't need to be perfect. We don't need to be holy because it's grace. Well, why did Jesus say in Matthew 5:48, be ye therefore perfect even as your Father in heaven is perfect? Why did he say that? You say, well, Brother David, my Bible don't have that. Oh, you got one of them funny books. That's the problem with the church world. They have defected from the truth. I'll give you a word for that in a little bit. Defected from the truth. Hebrews 12:14, he says, follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see God. I mean, we know these. Come on, church. We know these things, and yet we do opposite. It'll be more tolerable for, you know, someone who didn't know than someone who did know. Do you hear me? When we know the truth and we go and do something, come on. Lord, talking to us this morning. Jude is telling us to contend for the faith. To fight for the faith. To be in that race and run off for the prize. Contend for the prize. That's what he's talking about. Contend for the faith. He says in Mark's Gospel 11th chapter in verse 22, Jesus said, have faith in God. Have faith in this book right here. Not by what somebody tells you. Not by what the world dictates to you. Not what your body or your flesh tells you. Not what a brother, another brother or sister is doing. But what this word, have faith in this word right here. Confidence in this book right here. Verse 23 says, whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed and cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. And verse 24 said, therefore I say unto you, what things soever you desire, when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you shall have them. God is saying, don't let anyone come along and say that's not true, that you cannot have these things. That the power has been given in the church. The church has lost the power because we've listened to some outside force or something that tells us that we don't have to live that way. But God can only give the power to those who are sanctified and living separate from the world. Amen. That's why he's trying to clean the church up. That's why he's trying to help us. Contend for the faith, Judas tells us. Judas was a half-brother of Jesus Christ. Jude and James, the book of James, imagine playing with Jesus. James didn't, and I'm sure Jude didn't either, didn't believe he was the really Messiah, you know, to the fullest. He probably took him at his word, but until they saw him dying on the cross. Corinthians tells that, or one book tells us that. Then to write a book, contend for the faith. Amen. We understand that we've got to have this faith because it said in Hebrews 11:6, what did he say? But without faith, it is impossible to please God. Well, the church world we see today, they don't talk much about faith. It's more about how we can get programs in and how we can paint our walls black and bring the bar atmosphere for our teenagers in and how we can reach out to the world in that fashion. That's what the world's talking about rather than faith. Faith is an action word. It'll cause you to do things. Amen. It'll cause you to change. Hallelujah. Not get closer to the world, but further away from the world. Let me finish that scripture. But without faith it is impossible to please him, for he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them who what? Diligently seek him. That separates the men from the boys right there at last couple of words. Amen. Luke 10:19, we know it. Behold, given you power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall be enemies hurt you. See, these are the things that Jude is talking about, contend for. That God has equipped us that we can walk successfully through this world. He has put the gifts of the Holy Ghost in the church. But you see, these men that creeps in unaware into the church world as a whole nowadays, that they are trying to cause people to lose their faith or at least lower their faith. The enemy will creep in into our lives and into our churches and into our homes. Little by little, and we change our course little by little. He didn't come in all of a sudden and said, hey, we need to drag the world in here. No, it drags in piece by piece, grain by grain into the church and erodes the holiness and the standards of the church. But Judas says, you better do some fighting. The other morning I got up earlier, it might have been the other night before I went to bed. That's what I was fixed to go to bed. And I looked down toward the den in there, and I seen gun. I seen you. A little old mouse in the house. Huh? What'd you do, Brother Dave? I just wait around till I get about 100 in there, and I'll get them. No. Old Brother Dave went to looking for them traps. I set that baby out. And I got him. Why? I don't want my house taken over with them because I don't like them. I can smell them. If it wasn't a house, I can smell it. Now, y'all don't believe that. How many believes that? I can smell it. Y'all can too, huh? I was in there one day, and Brother Mike and Sarah was over, and Sister Connie, and I opened the pantry and I said, oh, there's a rat in here. They're laughing at me. They're laughing. You can't smell that. I said, I guarantee it's what in here. They got to moving around. And Rickety run out and there's a going, I was in there jumping too. I don't like them. They're just nasty to me. That's the way sin is. I'm jumping at it too. Come on. It's awful hot to me in here. Is y'all? Are y'all hot?
Yeah.
Thank you. Thank you. Praise God. I looked over here a while ago and it was all right. Amen. Thank you. I'll turn some fans on or something. All right. You listen to this CD going down the road, your air conditioner on, you feeling good, huh? Okay. Back to the word. They try to lose your faith. Lower your faith. They creep in. Then they'll destroy what we even believe. I mean, think about, you know, people out there in the world and they're looking for hope. I mean, think about this morning. If you was lost and your life was a mess this morning, where would you go? I mean, where would you go? And, I mean, but what church? It's kind of like, I mean, think about the man there that brought his son to the disciples. You remember the story there? And his little boy was demon-possessed, and he brought his son, often would be thrown in the fire, and he brought him to the disciples, right? And they couldn't do nothing. If you check back why, you know, they arguing over different things, who go sit highest and just go fishing, got their mind everywhere else. Jesus was off somewhere praying and seeking God. Well, Jesus comes back to him and he talks to this man and he says, do you believe? And the man tells Jesus, I believe, but help my unbelief. What's that man saying? He was saying, when I left the house this morning, I had heard so much about the church and what the church should be and who the church was. And I had so much faith that my son was going to get healed and get delivered. I was full of faith, but I got here and 12 of them done prayed for me and nothing happened. And now you're number 13. I'm beginning to doubt. See, people have seen the church people in the world out there, and they're acting the same as the world, and they're doing the same as the world, and they're trying to tell them they need God. And the church people said, for what reason? I live better than you now. I wonder this morning, before God could find somebody, or somebody could come in and somebody could find somebody through the church here who could help them and you know, living right, would it take 13 to get there? How about it? He says in Psalm 53:2, God looked down from heaven upon the children of men to see if there were any that did understand, that did seek God. Verse 3, every one of them is gone back. Wow. About like Paul coming along, or Peter, some of them in the early church come along and visit some of the churches today. You know, he probably said, y'all got a church full of sinners. Come on. Here's sinners trying to be in the church. They're all gone back, it said. Back means to go back. It means to backslide. That means to, y'all heard this word before, flinch. Just to flinch. It don't take much. It don't take much to lose God out of us. I mean, look at all of Israel. Look at all of Israel, the massive amount of people that was out there with Joshua. And all it took was a Babylonian garment and a wedge of gold. That's all it took. It don't take much. Come on. Brother Dave, long as the preacher is good and saved, that's all we need. No, it ain't. They're all together become filthy. There's not one that doeth good. No, not one. He said in Hebrews 10:38, he says, now the just shall live by faith. But if any man draw back, flinches, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. But he encourages us, verse 39, but we are not of them that who draw back unto perdition, but of them that believe unto the saving of the soul. Amen. That's who we are. That's who we should be. Amen. That's what he's telling us. He says in John 6:66, good place for it. From that time, many of his disciples went back and walked with him no more. Walked no more with him. And Jesus said unto the 12, will ye also go away? And Simon Peter answered, said, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. And we believe and are sure that thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered, have not I chosen you 12, and one of you is a devil. He didn't say he was a devil. Judas had the goods. He had the Holy Ghost by measure. Jesus sent the 12 out, gave them power. He had the goods. He is a devil, not was a devil. I ask you this morning, are you more saved today than you was the day you got saved? Are you more on fire today than the day you got saved? Come on. Is your lifestyle even more holy today than it was yesterday? If it's not, you're backslidden. Amen. You're not contending for the faith. You're going to be left behind, my friend. Going to be left behind. It's a sad case. But he says in verse 4 of Jude there that they're denying grace. What is grace? Grace is divine influence upon the heart and its reflection in the life. That's grace. They're denying that. They said, you can't live. You can't live the way Brother Whitfield says you can. You can't live by the way the King James says. So you need one of these other books that leaves some of them scriptures out. You know? So many in the church world are confused. I mean, there's so many doctrine. I mean, you can ride through Somerville, a little town of Somerville, and there's churches on about every corner. About every shopping center got another one popped up. And you can go in every one of them and there's, I mean, you're talking about confusion. Go in there and just look through their doctrine, walk through them, talk to some of them. The people are confused. I ask them, who are they listed to? I mean, even to the thing that we know called the rapture. The word rapture is not in the Bible. People say, oh, that ain't in the Bible. I don't believe it. Well, the word Bible is not in the Bible either. Do you believe it? So, the word rapture, the event is the taking up, gathering up, caught up. And there's churches that believe different even on that thing. There's some that believe, like us, that pre-tribulation will be raptured out before the tribulation. I'll give you some scriptures on that. There's some churches that believe that you'll be raptured out mid-tribulation. And there's some churches that believe post-tribulation, the end of the tribulation. Now, I'm a firm believer is, according to how you believe, that's what's going to happen. Amen. God, I wish I'd have, phew, boy, I wish I'd have went with them. You should have believed. You have not because you ask not, or you ask, you have not because you believe not. Amen. I mean, just stop and think about God for a minute. Just common sense. Jesus said, ye being evil, know how to give your children good gifts. Much more does your heavenly Father know how to bless them that love him. I mean, what I want my children that I have loved and give and blessed, if I was, you know, able to give them salvation and give them everything, the desires of their heart, and then dump them over into tribulation. I mean, does that make rational sense? God said, if you won't do it to your children, why do you think God's going to do it? Come on. It's crazy, isn't it? I mean, think about it just a minute. In the time of Noah, didn't it say that Noah found grace in the eyes of God? See, God is saying that he's going to bring judgment and wrath upon this world. But it said Noah found grace. I thank God I found grace in the eyes of God. And what happened? Wrath and judgment did not come. Why? Until Noah got in the ark and God closed the door. And it started coming then. Amen? I mean, does that make sense? Peter said in Acts 10:34, I perceive that God is no respecter of person. If he did it for Noah, if he found grace, I found grace. You found grace. I mean, think about old Lot there in Sodom. In Sodom and Gomorrah. It said that it did not rain fire and brimstone until the day that Lot went up out of Sodom. And that day it started. He had grace, not because of Lot, but because Abraham prayed for him. Amen. Proverbs 23:7, it says, for as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. I told you a while ago, it's, you know, if that's what you believe, that's what's going to happen. Because that's what you're going to be looking for. Amen. If you're not, let me ask you a question. If you're not looking for him, will he appear? If you're not looking for him, will he appear to you? No. If you're not believing that. It says in John, in the third chapter, verse 36, it said, he that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. And he that believeth not the Son shall not see life. But the wrath of God abideth on him. See, it's according to how we believe. If I believe that the rapture is going to take place before the tribulation, I got booked to prove it.
I'm going to go in it. But if I have all these scriptures and I don't believe it, I'm not going. It says right here, according to how you believe. Right? God don't override our will. 1 John 3:2, he said, Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. I'm going to be looking for him. Hebrews 9:28 says, So Christ was once suffered or once offered to bear the sins of many, and unto them that look for him shall he appear the second time without sin unto salvation. Now, mind you, this is a twofold meaning here. Just like over there in Matthew is talking about its twofold meaning. It says that there'll be two grinding meal and one taken and one left. In the rapture, the one taken is the righteous. The second coming, the one left is the righteous. Okay? That's the second coming. Okay? It's the end of the tribulation. But the rapture is different. It says here, them that look for him shall he appear the second time. Well, he's going to appear the second time to the church, but it's going to be on the clouds and he's going to appear to us. But he's coming back to this earth. He's not coming back to the earth in the rapture. He's only going to appear. But he's going to appear to those at the second coming when he's coming back. And it may be then that they will see him for the second time, those that don't believe in the rapture. Understand? Hope you're with me. I'll straighten it out if you don't. Amen. 2 Thessalonians 2. We're talking about who you listen to. I mean, who you listen to. 2 Thessalonians 2:1. He says, Now we beseech you. We're talking about the rapture right here. Just this one little spot here. Now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and by our gathering together unto him, that ye be not soon shaken in mind, or be troubled, neither by spirit, nor by word, nor by letter, as from us, as the day of Christ is at hand. See, the church at Thessalonica has gotten some news, and they listened to somebody and said, Oh, the Lord's already come and gone. You've been left behind. And Paul is writing a letter to them and said, Settle them down. So, no. Let me tell you how it's going to take place here. And let me tell you the importance of the church and the power of the church. He says, Let no man deceive you by any means. Verse 3. For that day shall not come except there come a falling away first. Now that falling away means a defection from the truth. A defection of the truth has to take place. My friend, in the church world, the church itself is defecting from the truth daily, swiftly from when I was a little boy. It is. The church is so corrupt, my friend. And if we're not watchful, it'll be here. It'll be creeping in. You listen to me. We're going to straighten up, eh? Amen? Except there come a falling away. A removal of the truth. You see, a lie, when truth is present, a lie cannot stand. But when the truth is gone, a lie will appear the truth. Who is the truth? Jesus is the truth. Who is his body? The church. We are the truth upon this earth. As long as the church is here, we're the truth. As weak as it may be, as weak as the church may be, we're still the voice of truth crying out into the world. But when the rapture takes place, the truth shall be gone. Amen. It's kind of a twofold meaning. Falling away first, the church is going to get out of the way. It's got to be a defection from the truth, else Antichrist can't stand up. He says, listen. And the son and the man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition. Verse 4. Who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God, or that is worshipped, so that he is as God, sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. Verse 5, remember ye not that when I was yet with you, I told you these things. Paul said, look here, I told you these things. Have you forgotten? I mean, how many times have we heard messages on different topics and different things, and yet we'll go out and listen to somebody else and they'll get you all confused? I've had people come back and they'll be all confused, scratching their head, and say, "Brother Dave, somebody said it was like this," and they all twist it up, and then they get, "Well, I don't even believe me because they've listened to some other thing." Well, if you go out there and get yourself all twisted up, my friend, don't come back here and expect me to untie you and straighten you out. Get in the book and find it out for yourself. Amen. I'm only going to tell you one time. If you don't believe it, I ain't going to stand and argue with you. Verse 6, it says, "And now ye know what withholdeth, that he might be revealed in his time." There is a force, and there is a situation that he cannot be revealed. Truth will not let him be revealed. The church is truth. We need to realize who we are. We're truth. The world is a lie. We're the truth. And truth will always prevail. Come on, truth will always prevail. It may sometime look like it don't, but if you just stand faithful in the truth, it will always prevail. It did not look like Jesus Christ was prevailing when he was going into Pilate's hall and when he was going up Golgotha's hill. But my friend, when he said it was finished, truth prevailed, amen. Truth prevailed. So he says there's this force that is preventing Antichrist. And verse 7 said, "For the mystery of iniquity doth already work. Only he who now letteth will let until he be taken all away." Now that he in verse 7 is the church. The rapture of the church will end the grace period. It is the time of the Gentiles now. So many people are waiting around. And say, "Well, I was talking to a young man yesterday," and he says that, "I'll just wait and get saved over in the tribulation. Because somebody told him he could get saved then." And I said, "Look, I'm not going to say you can't. And I'm not going to say you can. Because I don't really have a scripture to really. I got some that would probably do for me. I know it'll do for me. But to argue with you over, I'm not really. I could find them. I've never studied it really. Because I ain't going to be here then. But I said, if I was of the persuasion that you're going to get saved in the tribulation, I would say no. Of knowing what I know, no." You say, "Oh, Brother David, you don't know your Bible." I'll go ahead. Revelation said, "Who are these in his white robes?" I said, they that come out of the great tribulation. See, you don't know. Hold on. That's the Jews. This is the time of the Gentiles. You got to know the book. This is the time of the Gentiles. And God's going to turn his attention away from the Gentiles back to the Jews for the last week of Daniel's prophecy right here. Amen. Know the book. Know who God is. Jeremiah said, if the footmen worry you, what you going to do when they get the horses out, the chariots? And if in a time of peace you can't serve God, in this grace period, my God, you can't serve God. That's so many people say, "Oh God, it's so hard to serve God." You little petrid thing, you pukey thing. If you get off of that old barbed wire fence trying to struggle both sides of the fence, if you get over in God, my friend, you can serve God. Come on. My God, look at the saints of God that brought this thing to us. Great goodness. He said, "For the mystery of iniquity doth already work. Only he who now letteth will let until he be taken out of the way." Verse 8 says, "And then, and not until then, shall the wicked one be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth and the destroyer with the brightness of his coming." At the second coming. So often we church preachers, we confuse people. We talk about, I'm looking for the Lord's second coming, and they're talking about the rapture. Never confuse the rapture with the second coming. Okay? The second coming is at the end of the tribulation. The rapture is beginning of it. It's a caught up. It's an event. He don't come back to this earth. He steps out on the clouds. And then that wicked one be revealed after that. Verse 9, even him whose coming is after the working of Satan with all power and signs and lying wonders and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish because they receive not the love of the truth that they might be saved. Because they receive not the love of the truth that the church was preaching that they would be saved. And for this cause, God shall send them strong delusions in the tribulation that they should believe a lie and that they all might be damned who believe not the truth. Amen. But had pleasure in unrighteousness. You listen to us here. The promise in this grace period to the church. Look at it. 1 Thessalonians 1:10. It says, and to wait for his son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, even Jesus, which delivered us from the wrath to come. He's delivered us from the wrath to come. Hallelujah. Because I've accepted Jesus before the wrath comes. I'm going to get out of here. Jesus is that ark, and I'm in that ark, and that ark can't go down in the water. First Thessalonians 5:9, it says, for God hath not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ. We've not been appointed unto wrath, my friends. God loves us. In fact, if you read Revelation, you see in chapters 2 and 3, he's talking to the seven churches. Church, 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 church. In fact, he says to the church of Philadelphia, church of brotherly love, really the only one that had a clean slate. He said, because you've kept my word, I'll keep thee from the hour of temptation. Amen. Revelation 2 and 3, it says, second, third chapters, church, church, church. Chapter 4, it says, and I heard a voice saying, come up hither. And immediately I was in the spirit. And you don't hear the church no more in Revelation. You don't read church in there no more. The word church. Now, churches is in the last chapter talking about you can read it, but it's not talking addressing the churches. Listen, the church is out of here when all that has taken place. Said, well, I'll just get saved in the tribulation, you know. I said, well, there won't be any preachers. He said, how shall they know except there be a preacher? Oh, Brother Dave, there'll be some preachers that's backslidden. How shall they preach except they be sent? They ain't sent. They're not called. They backslid. Come on now. God is good to us. Let's give the event of the rapture. Jude is telling us to give all diligence, to earnestly contend for the faith. Don't lose faith in the last of the last hour. Would it be a shame to miss out on God after serving God for a long time and you get weary and you just kind of start drifting aside, picking up little things, and influenced by the wrong crowd, and who you listen to. Yo, I got this best friend over here. Oh, yeah. Oh, I really don't have to live like that. No, just go ahead. Come on. It'll do good. You'll look good. You'll feel good. The power of persuasion. 1 Thessalonians, coming to a close, 4:13. But I would not have you ignorant, brethren, concerning them that are asleep, that ye sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, how many believes that? Even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. Where's he at? Where's the Lord at? Where's he at? Holler it out. Right hand of God. He's in heaven, right? Well, if he's going to bring those that are asleep, those are saints of God that's dead, he's going to bring them with him. Where are they at? It must be there too, huh? Paul said to be absent from the body and be present with God. Amen. Till Jesus, you know, is in paradise in the heart of the earth, Paul talks about a paradise in heaven. Jesus led captivity captive and gave gifts to men. Carried them on up. They're now in heaven. Person dies to be absent from the body, present with the Lord. He says, verse 15, for this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. Okay? Now, some church, you go to a funeral, and they'll be in the church, and they'll be preaching over a body, and they say, don't y'all weep over them. They're not in this body. This is just their transportation. It's going back to the dust. They're in heaven. They're in heaven with the Lord. You know, and everybody's glad and happy. They get out to the graveside. I've heard preachers do this. Get out to the graveside, and they're standing over the grave and said, don't cry. One of these days, they're going to come up out of this ground. Wait a minute. Now, you told me they was in heaven. How'd they get back already? Just from the church to the cemetery. I mean, people don't think what they say. Genesis said the flesh is going back to dust. Paul said, if this vessel was dissolved, I have another vessel in heaven not made by hands. He said the corn that is planted is not the same corn that, come on, that grows out. Rightly divide the word. So he's saying here, he's giving us what's going to take place. He said, I don't want you to be ignorant concerning them that are asleep, okay? And he says, for the Lord shall bring them with him. And he tells how it's going to be. Now here's how it will happen, verse 16. Here's the thing. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with a voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Now, they're saying that they'll be coming out of the ground first. No. If they're going to come with him out on the clouds, they got to rise first. Right? There they are. They're out there first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be, what's that word? Raptured. That's what raptured means. Caught up together with them. Where? In Armageddon? No. In Israel? No. In the clouds. To meet the Lord in the air. That's why we sing that song, Meeting in the Air. And so we ever be with the Lord. And then he said, verse 18, wherefore comfort one another with these words. People don't never read the book. That's the end of the kings and the priests. Amen? The kings and the priests have been raptured. Tribulation on this earth. 7 years later, he comes back at Armageddon with the armies of God. That's us. And on his horse is king of what? Kings behind him. Ain't no kings down here on earth. They'd already been raptured out. If you don't go in the rapture, my friend, ain't going to be no king. You won't be no king. Don't you love him? Hallelujah. We'll talk a little bit more, going a little different route. Talking about tonight about contending for the faith. Men crept in unawares. Come on, stand with us. Father, we love you this morning for who you are. We thank you for the opportunity, God, to serve you. We thank you, Father, for the word that is so true. God, we're living in a time today, Lord, when I see great denominations, Lord, that stood for you as withering into the world. They're blending into the world and are becoming as the world. Lord, I can even see it from the conception of this ministry, God.
how that many is kind of looking into the world. Lord, if we're not watchful, we'll be with one of those that is so far removed from what we should be. God, I pray, Father, in this year, 2010, Lord, we would be revived again into the ways of you, Lord, what you would have us to be. Lord, that we'd be dressed and ready. Lord, that we'd have our lamps filled and them trimmed and burning. Because, Lord, I believe we're living so close to hearing those words come up hither. Lord, help us, God, to make mind who we listen to. Lord, make sure, God, that they're telling us the truth. We're not just take some man's word, even Brother Whitfield's word here. But God, we get in the book and dig and take your word. Help us, Lord, not to be deceived in this last day. Help us to be what we should be.